The Feast of the Poor. He has filled the hungry with good things. Luke 1, verse 53. Christianity has often been called the religion of the poor, and it truly is. But in which sense? One has read in the Bible about the Christ, who, though he was rich, became poor, and he came in the form of a servant, the disposition of a slave. In the language of the 20th century, they have translated this as, Christ took his seat among the proletarians, the working class. Now Christ indeed had been poor. The very poorest, however, still has more than he, more joy, better care, and superior rights. Indeed, Christ had no rights at all, not he, nor his parents, Joseph and Mary. They even had to escape to Egypt, and poets made their songs about Joseph and the donkey, who came to a palm with dates, which he wanted to pick, upon which the fruit descended miraculously onto Mary's lap. That is actually what people made of it. Yet the Bible knows indeed of that shaving poverty, though nothing of the remarkable tree that suddenly dropped its fruit onto Mary's lap. It displays for you, poor people, a Savior who entered into your poverty to save you, though the riches of God belonged to him. And he did not receive anything by way of a miracle. No fruit fell suddenly onto his or his mother's lap. The miracle was indeed in the food which he gave away, but not in what he received. And because of this, some people preached that Jesus only feasted with the poor. They pointed to his sober dress and said, Now you poor, why would you be so timid? Are you too shy to cross the threshold behind which also is nothing but poverty? And thus they used the poverty of Jesus to encourage the poor. They said that the Savior was not for the great, for the princes and nobles, but for the poor, the oppressed, the proletarians. He was their companion at the feast of the poor. Their pale children were allowed to come, and only torn garments were considered wedding garments with him. Poor people, I want to take that comfort away from you, for I do not believe such a feast of the poor. Jesus is not a Jesus of a particular class. He is not a class child. He belongs just as little to the class of the rich as to the class of the poor. He is not for sale at any price, also not for the price of poverty. It is far from the truth that Jesus would see in poverty his rights to enter his house. Instead, he came to take also our rights away. Why did Jesus want to appear in that deep poverty? Why was his entrance into the world as the way of the oppressed? It was because we have become without rights before God. We have forfeited everything. Thus the poor may not satisfy themselves as being other rich men by the privilege of a profitable poverty. The way of a poor man as image bearer of Christ may not be a retaliation over against the rich. For God has a quarrel with every man. Also with you, poor people, he has a lawsuit of vengeance. You have to see that. And thus the hour lived through with Christ becomes yet a feast of the poor. But those poor are then poor in a different sense than just outwardly. It is thus the poverty of the spirit which Christ asks of them, which he teaches them. This now is a poverty which hurts the rich just as much as the proletarian, the capitalist as much as the laborer in the factory. To be poor in spirit and having no rights with God except in Christ. Let us tell each other that again. As a matter of fact, the poor no longer need a pleasant and encouraging word to appear in public. It appears that they no longer need to be appeased to this king in their poverty, in their daring to approach him. For do they not dare to tread before the palaces of the mighty and demand their rights? If need be, they take it by force. He who expects to meet shy and timid people when he brings the gospel will pass by the people. Ah, they are so full of daring, the rich, but also the poor. A sweet, encouraging invitation to the poor, even though it was yet unbiblical, made some sense when the poor were hiding in the dark. But today it has become utter nonsense. Do you not dare, you poor people? But in the light of the great daring of sin, all traces of earthly contrasts fade away. No, this is what Christ comes to ask of you. Become poor of spirit. Do so consciously. That is, execute the judgment on yourself before the tribunal of the eternal God, by which you sentence the proud rich man, when you include him in the judgment of the men of today. Humiliate yourself as one without rights, to acquire thus your holy right with God, yet only in the Christ. That message has always been in conflict with the desire of the rich and the desire of the poor, and still opposes the desire of flesh and blood. But it is the only message that has the right to resonate throughout the world, to penetrate deeply into the soul of everyone. Become poor of spirit. Behind the poverty of Christ stands his divine majesty, which comes to subdue and shatter all things. The humble shall possess the land forever, delighting in the peace within their gates. The wicked may pursue with bow and quiver, or gnash their teeth at them in angry hate. The Lord sees them and laughs at their endeavor, for he has set the day of their defeat. Thus there is a celebration of the poor, and his poverty is the beginning of eternal wealth.